What up, guys? It's Rook here, drummer from Machine Gun Kelly, and you're listening to Sellouts, the podcast for MGK fans by MGK fans, presented by Pink Bucks. Let's go!
I just shook his hand but didn't like his vibe, so I used antibacterial. Welcome to another episode of Sellouts, the podcast for MGK fans by MGK fans, presented by Pink Bucks. I'm your host, Mike Kyle, and today I am joined by Mitchell Stafford, a.k.a. Stitch, a.k.a. Stitch19XX. Mitch,
gang, gang.
Dude, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Dude, I'm so excited for this. Thank you so much for the opportunity, man. I love what you're doing, giving us EST fans a platform to talk about, you know, how what EST means to us, what Kells means to us. You're doing a great job, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, dude, and thank you so much for being on. I appreciate the kind words. So, Stitch, let's just dive right into it. How did you become a fan of MGK?
So, I used to follow this website called, I think it was hotnewhiphop.com or something like that.
Yep.
And then I saw one of his ciphers on there. And then, obviously, I found Wild Boy. And then I started diving into his mixtapes. And I was like, dude, this dude is dope, right? And then I saw him live opening up for Tech N9ne. And I'm from a small market, Rapid City, South Dakota. And he opened up for Tech N9ne, and I was just blown away by his stage presence, his energy. And he performed Blink-182, What's My Age Again, and, like, took his pants off like he did back then day, you know? and so that was just, like, that made me a massive fan. His live performance just blew me away. And then it was just, you know, the rest was history. And then I started diving into who he was about, his message, and it just spoke to me in ways that speaks to a lot of people, obviously, which is why EST is such a massive fan base and what it means to everybody. So yeah, dude, like 2010, 2011-ish, and people are always like, dude, why are you such a huge MGK fan? I was like, man, that dude saved my life more ways than one, man. And I just love him. And
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Dude, you gave me a lot of great stuff in that. So we're gonna kind of ping pong, bounce around a little bit. You're in radio, so this will work. This will be a good conversation here. Being from a small town where you're from, you said South Dakota, right?
Yep.
Rapid City, South Dakota. Rapid City, South Dakota. What? How many people were there for Kell's opening for Tech N9ne? Because we're going all the way back. You know, that's 2011, 2012.
Yep.
How many people were there?
It was a small room, man. I mean, but it was a decent sized room. I bet you there was about a good 500 people there or more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, there was a lot more people there for Tech N9ne. I was specifically there for MGK. Mm-hmm. But I think MGK made a lot of fans that night. Mm-hmm. You know, people that may have never seen him before or heard of him, you know, and like I said, his stage presence and his performance, just everybody was just going wild. So he made a lot of fans that night for sure.
Yeah, and what was it about Kell so early on that really drew you to him, right? Because one thing where it's like, yeah, you know, I was just going on, you know, hot hip-hop, and it's like, all right, I found this dude, I like this song, but you actually took it a step further, right? Going down the rabbit hole, going through the mixtapes. At that point, the Lace Up album was probably on the way, had it not dropped already. So what was, like, the big thing where you're like, nah, like, this is my guy?
I related to him on a personal level because I had a pretty shitty upbringing, kind of like similar to him. I had parent issues, drug addicts for mom, and my dad was non-existent in my life. And so just the way that he spoke about that and it propelling him into his everyday life and just that never say no attitude and just going after your dreams no matter what's going on in your life and pushing, that just spoke to me and resonated with me and pushed me to do the exact same thing, because at that time I was very young, just had a new baby, you know what I mean, and new wife, but you know, we were very young in our relationship, and I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I knew I loved music very much, and I just wanted to follow those dreams, and I did, and then ended up being, you know, getting into radio, becoming a host for a lot of things, working with a lot of different bands, being promoting shows here locally and making this music scene here in the Black Hills of South Dakota what it is today. So I have had a hand in that. And I really think a lot of that for Kells and his message at that time early on in his career. And then even following him into now and what he was, you know, seeing him being that young and that hungry into what he's grown today is just unreal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's wow. All right, well, your answers. Keep them coming. Keep them
I
coming.
got you. I got you, bro.
So from that time period, right? Young, hungry, kind of like that same mentality that you were in, he was going through. Was there a song during that era that you found yourself like keep going back to, where you're like, this is the song every day when I wake up, or every day at the gym, or whatever the case was, while you're grinding? What song was that?
It was All We Have on the Lace Up album.
And why was it that one?
It was just, I mean, that again, that song just spoke to me. All we have is right now, so make the best of it, type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it just, and I just love the melody of the song and just how he, it's raw, you know, like he's talking about his best friend and stuff like that being the reason why I text driving or whatever. I can't remember specifically what it meant or what it said, but just, yeah, just the lyrics and just the rawness of that song. I just could, you could feel the passion, you could feel the heart. Because everything that he does is real, and a lot of people, you know, that's why he resonates with so many people. He's got a lot of haters out there, obviously, because of the whole M beef, which I think is tired some. It's stupid argument these days because that was so long ago now, and I just hate that whole argument. Like, oh, Eminem killed his career, when really the dude's blown up since then, like selling out arenas and stadiums and like 2 number 1 albums, like. And he switched genres. That's another tiresome argument. No, he's always had rock influences. Even when he was like one of the first hip hop artists back in the day that had a full band performing with him. You know what I mean? Not hip hop artists didn't do that back then. They just came out rapping over a
They
DJ track. You know what I mean?
still don't do that.
Yeah, I know. It's like he was one of the first that ever did that. So, I mean, he's always had rock influences. He's always been a punk rock at heart. So this whole him going into the whole punk rock thing was never for anything other than for him, you know what I mean, and what he felt at the time.
Yeah. And on that note of the evolution and the growth, it seems like me and you were kind of in like the same boat, where our careers also started to kind of mold and take place and shape as he's going through the exact same thing. So
Yeah,
for you,
exactly.
what's that been like? And if you have any like cool parallels that you can think of, or if it's just kind of like, did you have a moment similar to Kel's where it's just like, damn, like looking around, like we did it?
I mean, not one moment specifically, but I mean, anytime I needed to hear something, it was weird. Anytime that he would put out a new song, or anytime he put out a new album, those messages that he put out, it was exactly what I needed to hear in that time of my life. It's weird to say, but it was just like, wow. You know what I mean? These are the feelings that I've been feeling, and I couldn't, you know, figure them out. And then he just always had the perfect message to me. It's a little weird and kind of creepy to say, but it for real, it's a real thing. Like, anytime I needed to hear something, it was always right there when he released a new song or a new album.
That's why music is the universal language, right?
That's right, my
It's
friend. That's right.
for that reason. It's not only the fact that, oh, you can play a song and everybody in the room is going to start dancing, but also you can play a song and everybody in the room is going to be able to take that song and connect with it in some way.
Exactly, dude. And that's why EST is as massive as it is. You know what I mean? And it's a family, and it's not just a. I get asked all the time, you know, what the double X's mean and stuff like that. Is that my brand or anything like that? No, it's the message, man. Repping the message. It's not even about MGK. It's just the message. Everyone stands together that means so much to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and let's take that a step further, okay? Because I do think, God, this is gonna sound very, very trite. I apologize. It's
No,
okay.
you're
And
good.
I talk to the viewers, or the listeners, I apologize. But like, when you have the 19 double X's in your name, you are a different level of fan almost, because I feel like that's where, like, you can visually see
Yeah.
that there is a connection that you have with that artist, right? It's almost just like if you were a big fan of Drake and you put OVO in your handle for everything online, right? There's a very strong association between
Yeah.
you and Drake then, because of the lettering. So for you, what does the double X mean, right? Forget everybody stands together. Like, go deeper for me, man.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a deep answer. The message in itself, you know what I mean? And then, like, just pursuing your dreams, and, you know, no matter what you're going through, there's always that light at the end of the tunnel. Just keep pushing. And, you know what I mean? It means a lot to me. I don't think I could just paraphrase it or even mm-hmm. come up with a summary. I mean, I have it tatted on me.
Yeah. Likewise.
I got X's here.
I'm somewhere.
I got Lace Up here. Like, uh-huh. I mean,
oh, nice.
It's a brand, man, for me. And it's just it's always been about the messaging mm-hmm. and, you know, pushing yourself and like, you know, like the Lace Up thing, like lace up your shoes and get out there and mm-hmm. do it, man. You know what I mean? Don't hold yourself back. Push yourself. Mm-hmm. Get out of your comfort zone. Make things happen. Care about people. Love people. You know what I mean? That's what it means to me.
Love that. In one of a previous podcast episode with Graham Davies, go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. We spent some time kind of talking about the differences between the Lace Up movement and EST and just kind of like how it started as this thing and then we molded into something else entirely. And it's pretty cool to reflect on as a whole. And
really
I love that you have both of them tatted on you. That's so dope.
Yeah, dude.
One thing I'm really curious about, okay? Can we just kind of call it out? You live in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, dude, it's a real thing. I live in an island, bro.
You live in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. So my question is, how big is the XX mob in South Dakota?
I wouldn't say non-existent, but it's definitely mm-hmm. small. You know what I mean?
So what's
that a conservative
like
state.
Yeah.
What's it like for me?
I
mean, it doesn't bother me by any means. I mean, I, as a radio host, anytime I can play an MGK song, mm-hmm. I will. And I will put it out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, anytime I can spread that message to anyone, like, because there's been times where people that never heard of MGK, but just hating on him for some reason. And I'm like, you know, let's sit down for a second. And I show them three or four songs and they're like, oh, okay, this is real. You know, I've changed a lot of people's minds and made a lot of people fans, not as intense as me, you know what I mean? But still, like, just at least spreading that message of, you know, the positivity and, you know, speaking to people that have mental health issues, you know what I mean? Like that I've had people cry after listening to some of his songs, like just literally it resonated with them in a way that, you know what I mean? That just hit them impactfully and mm-hmm. it made them a fan forever. So I do my part and to try to build that movement, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here, but it's pretty small out here for sure. But I mean, like anytime, if MGK came here now, it would sell out the arena that we have here locally for sure. 100%. But they're not like the real fans that are like me, you know what I mean? That have been mm-hmm. grinding with the kids since he was selling CDs out of his trunk. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and so, but yeah, anytime I get the opportunity to show somebody MGK, I do it.
You mentioned that you've had people start crying.
Yeah,
kind of
that's a real thing.
Song. Can you tell a story of one that like really sticks out to you?
Yeah, it was a buddy of mine. We were actually traveling to Denver to go see him play Red Rocks. I think it was the Halloween show. And he had never really dove into him, but he was just along for the ride, wanted to go for a show. And I literally played the entire discography for him on the way to Denver. It's about a 5-6 hour drive from here. And he was just sitting back there because he struggled with issues and with his childhood and he has some mental health issues and, you know, addiction problems and stuff like that. And I think it was Kiss the Sky, I believe, was the song. And then I just saw him in the back seat as we were driving and he was just breaking down crying. And then also Rehab was a huge song too, that made, you know, that hit him pretty hard. So, and he was bawling, like crying. He's like, dude, I've never had something hit me this hard before. And I'm like, that's what it's about, man. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jose Diablo, as we all probably know, right, is one of, if not the most personal album. I think you can probably make an argument potentially for General Admission, but for the most part, yeah. Hotel Diablo just seems to be the one where it's like, nah, I'm just going to give you guys everything.
Yeah, so dude, because when Hotel Diablo dropped, I was going through a divorce and I was going through some pretty dark stuff. And that was also his darkest album, you know what I mean? Going through mm-hmm. the stuff that he was going through. So that was a massive album for me as well. I actually have that tatted right here. You can't really see it, but it says Hotel Diablo right here.
how many MGK tattoos do you have?
Dude, I probably have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6. No,
if you're...
I have like 10, sorry, because I forgot my leg.
If you're listening, to the podcast, Mitch is literally just like scanning his body, like, looking for all of his tattoos, like it's a word search or something. Or
yeah, it's mostly like lyrics and stuff, lyrics that resonated with me. So yeah,
cool, dude. Well, let's switch gears here for a little bit, and then we can wrap up and get out of here. Yes, sir. Seeing Kells in concert. How many times have you seen it? You mentioned the Red Rock show, Tech N9ne show. What's your number, man?
I've seen him at least 10 times. At least. And anytime I get an opportunity to see him, if he gets close, then I go and see him. And that will never stop. So, yeah, I've been about 10 times. My daughter's been to – she's 15. She's went to 3 or 4 shows now. She actually got to meet him and shake his hand one time at a Denver show right after Hotel Diablo dropped. She got to meet his daughter too. So that was cool. That was a special moment.
What – I mean, we're gonna now just derail from where I was gonna go with it, because that answer is better than where I thought you were gonna go with it.
Yeah.
What's that like? Having is your daughter a fan of him? I would assume.
Yeah. So she's kind of grew up on it, right? You know, ever since she was a baby, okay. Like just me jamming his music all the time, so she can sing and rap all of his songs. She's a huge fan, just like me.
So what's that like for you? Because in the episode that came out, it would be, let me do math here, Tuesday. This episode's going to go up on Thursday. The episode that came out Tuesday, I had the opposite situation where I was talking to somebody whose mom got them into MGK. And
oh, really?
So now I have the parent here.
Yeah.
Who got their child into MGK. So what is that relationship like, kind of sharing that bond with an artist?
It's huge. I mean, anytime we get an opportunity to, you know, drive around and jam out and listen, it's a special moment. So it's a bonding moment, like you said, for sure. I have a story from last year that's kind of crazy, if you don't mind me sharing.
Go for it.
So last year for the Mainstream Sellout Tour, I bought tickets to take my daughter, and we were going to go to Vegas for the weekend. And as we got close to the date, we were literally about to fly out, but we go through Allegiant Airlines here, and they only fly out Thursday and Sunday. So we were going to fly in Thursday, go to the concert Friday, fly home Sunday. But my flight canceled an hour before we were supposed to be there. And if it cancels, you literally can't find any other flight to get to Vegas unless you go somewhere else. So, like, I'm struggling. I'm really disappointed about it. I'm trying to find if there's flights from Denver, if there's flights from another town that's about 5 hours from here, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Just can't find anything, right? So I'm like, I paid good money for those tickets too. And so I was just like, shit, what am I going to do? And I found that he was going to be in Fargo, North Dakota, like the week following. So I ended up buying tickets to Fargo, and it was just a few days after we were supposed to leave. So, you know, a week or so afterwards. So we drive to Fargo. It's a 10-hour drive from here.
Okay.
It was literally a quick trip. Drive, go to the concert, come home. That was basically what it was. And as we were driving there, before we were set to leave, I was talking to my hairdresser about it because I was really disappointed that we didn't get to go to Vegas. And she's like, you know what? Maybe this will be an opportunity. Maybe you'll meet him or something weird. Something like that will happen. I'm like, yeah, maybe, whatever, cool, whatever. So we go to Fargo, and we're at the hotel. We're getting ready. It's me and my daughter. We're all dressed up in pink and got our hair done and, you know, whatever. And she's just taking forever, being a little teenage girl. And I'm like, let's go. And then we were going to lift down there because I'm not familiar with Fargo, never been to Fargo ever in my life. And then decided not to lift and that we were just going to drive. So we drive from the hotel downtown Fargo and to get some food, and it was maybe 10, 15 minutes away. And as we drive right into downtown, MGK literally walks right outside as we drive past him. I'm like, my daughter's name's Maddie. I'm like, Maddie, there's MGK right there. And she's like, what? So I roll down the window. I'm like, hey. And he's like, hey. And I have big double X's on the back of my black truck, right?
Oh, what? Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So I drive and I end up parking, and he ends up, like, we're probably a couple blocks away, and he walks kind of by us, and we were supposed to walk that way. And I didn't want to be like a creeper and like following him, yeah, and stuff, because we were just going the same way. So I'm just, you know, whatever, we're walking, trying to keep our distance, because it was with him and a security guard and a couple other people,
yeah,
that I didn't recognize. And anyway, so we walk in, and we're about a block or so behind him, and then they cross the street and end up turning around. and start walking back, and he has headphones on. And he takes them off. He's like, "Hey, yo, was that you with the black truck with the double X's on there?" And dude, I froze. I literally was just like, "Yeah, dude." You know, like, and he's like, "Man, that's hard as fuck, dude. Thank you so much, man." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I can't wait to see you tonight. It's gonna be dope." And you know, and I didn't want to be that guy. My daughter too. I didn't want to ask for a picture because I know he doesn't like that shit. So we're just kind of we talked for a few minutes. We weren't close to each other. It was about, you know, he was across the street, I was across the street. We were kind of shouting at each other. And dude, my heart just, I've never been starstruck. I've met a lot of artists and I've met a lot of famous people, and I've never been starstruck like that. I felt so like, you know, like, and ended up meeting him, seeing him, leaving. And then we go to the show that night, and it was just like, that was just so surreal because the whole situation with the Vegas trip. And then my, you know, my hairdresser was like, "Yeah, maybe you'll meet him. Maybe you'll run into him or some weird shit." Sure enough, dude, that happened. And it was just a special moment for me and my daughter, and it was really fun. And he's just a down to earth dude, and he loves kids, and he, you know, get to share, even what it was a brief moment, just being able to share that moment with her and him was very special. I'll never forget that for sure.
Well, it sounds like that your hairdresser definitely spoke it into existence. That's for sure.
Yeah, right. Manifested that shit.
That's right. Wow. I had no idea where that story was going to go. For a second, I thought we were going to say like, "Oh no, we decided to drive to Vegas," but no, we went the other way, and then you got to meet him. So
went to Fargo. Yep.
How? So I've never met him. We were talking about this off air before we started recording. I've never met him. We think he may know that we exist. We may not. Who knows?
Right.
how cool, right? It's one thing to be like, "Oh shit, like I was starstruck," but did you have a moment of like reflecting maybe afterwards or on the drive home? Because you have like a 10-hour car drive to process what just happened.
Yeah, man.
You just met the hero, you know?
Right. Yeah, and it was like that. I mean, part of me wishes that I would have asked him. I bet you if I did, like, "Hey, man, if I would have just asked him, I'm sure he would have been fine with it." But so I regret that a little bit, but just the memory alone is enough. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was just a special moment. Like I said, I'll never forget it. It was just surreal almost. And just how cool he was. You know what I mean? He didn't have to take time to say anything to me at all. You know what I mean? And he did. So that's cool.
What was your daughter's reaction during all this?
She was just like, you know, just a teenage girl. Like, you know what I mean?
That's so cool. So cool, dude. Let's wrap it up with this. We're going to go with five rapid fire MGK questions for you. More so this or that. It's not a trick or gotcha game. So you ready to get into it?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's do it. Let's start off with blonde hair or pink hair.
Honestly, I don't care. I think he looks good with both. It's fine.
Cool. Let's go pink guitar from Tickets or black guitar from Mainstream Sellout.
I actually own the pink guitar. I think the pink guitar is dope, but I also love the black because I wear black everything. I have an all black truck. So
cool. If you could see him perform anywhere in the world, where would you want to see him perform at?
Oh man. So I already saw him at Red Rocks, which was a very special, special show. I would like to see him actually come here to Rapid City and sell out, because we just built a brand new arena, and it's not even a year old yet. I would love for him to come and sell that thing out. I'm sure it's probably the last time he was in Rapid City, he had some issues. He was still a smaller artist back then, but the last time he was here, he had some issues with the people that were running the sound. So I don't know if he's ever going to come back, but it would be cool if he did, for sure.
All right. Well, we can cross our fingers and hope that that happens. Next question. We started the episode off with a lyric from The Cypher. It sounds like that's going to become a series. So who do you want to see on The Cypher next?
Oh, man, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Oh, man. Ian Dior, maybe? That would be cool because they've done some stuff with each other in the past. So that would be cool just to see Ian Dior do a little freestyle.
I like that. And let's go with a similar... let's switch it up for this final question, actually. You meet somebody, they've never listened to an MGK song. What is the first song that you're playing them?
Oh, man, it depends on what the situation is, but I always try to show them. Rehab's a big one. anything from Hotel Diablo, really. You know what I mean? And yeah, it just kind of depends on the situation and what's going on, if we're drunk or not.
In that case, then it's drunk face, and you're just going to crank that volume all the way up.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess we'll wrap it up right there. That is Mitchell Stafford, a.k.a. Stitch. Dude, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the opportunity and having me, dude. This is, again, really, really cool that you're giving EST fans a platform to discuss what MGK means to them and what EST means to them, because it's important to people. So it's awesome that you're doing this, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the kind words. And thank you all so much for watching on YouTube, listening on podcast platforms. I greatly appreciate it. If you want to be on the show, hit the application down below in the description. And if you want to support the show even further, you can use promo code SELLOUTS at checkout at pinkfucks.com to receive 10% off of your purchase. Thank you so much for taking your sweet time listening or watching, and we will see you in the next episode.